Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scriptures today are Psalm 34, verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their trouble. And Matthew 11, verse 15. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Since I think you probably don't want to see me falling up the stairs or falling down the stairs, whichever the case might be, I think I will stay seated here. I think most of you can probably still see me. Let us pray. God, let me speak clearly that they can more easily hear me and to pay attention and follow you. Amen. Good morning. Some of you may know me from different venues than this, but this is the first opportunity that I've had to preach to this congregation, and I'm quite grateful. I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you any answers this morning, but maybe, just maybe, I might be able to raise an interesting question or two as we go along. First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about that part of the book that we read this morning from Horton Hears the Who. And secondly, I'm going to go a little bit more deeply into that simple verse from Matthew. And finally, I'm going to see if I can tie the two of them together a little bit and see if they shed any light on this process that we as a congregation are going through right now, getting ready to call a new pastor. As you probably know by now, Theodore Zeus Geikel was born in 1904 in Springfield, Massachusetts. He ended up writing 60 and illustrating over 60 different books. He attended Dartmouth College, and in 1925, during Prohibition, he got in trouble because he got caught drinking gin in the dorm room. He joined the Army in 1943, and he left the Army in 1945 at the end of the war in the rank of a lieutenant colonel. Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Zeus was first published on August 12, 1954. That's 71 years ago this week. So happy birthday, Dr. Zeus. It was the first children's book that was written by Geisel after he moved to La Jolla, California. He started writing this book back in the fall of 1953. It was the second book that featured Horton Hears a Who. Horton Hears a Who can be understood as an allegory for post-war Japan. During the war, Geisel was very anti-Japanese. He created cartoons and wrote propaganda that made fun of the Japanese. But after the war, Geisel visited Japan. He was bothered by the fact that so many otherwise innocent American Japanese were forced into internment camps, or what were really American concentration camps. It's been said that Horton Hears a Who is an apology of sort. There are a number of different animals that we didn't go over in this story besides Horton, but it's possible to see many of them as metaphors for the various leaders in World War II. For example, the Wickersham brothers who wanted to tie up and cage Horton. It's a very small step from hearing that to seeing it as a metaphor for the concentration camps that so many Japanese Americans were forced to live in during the duration of the war. Orton Hears a Who raises a number of interesting questions, but difficult questions. For example, now, if you were a who, how could you prove that you existed? What do you do if people can't hear you or won't hear you? What do you do if people can't see you or won't see you? Must we see something before we believe it? Or are we like the people in Missouri that once upon a time on their license plate said, "Seeing is believing"? Or must we believe that something must exist or could exist before it's even possible for us to actually see it? Likewise, do you really think that we should believe everything that we hear? Horton hears something, and he believes that that something might be important. The kangaroo don't hear anything and think that Horton is foolish. The kangaroo tells Horton that she didn't hear any voices and therefore he didn't either. Well, why does she think that he didn't hear them then? Just because you think you know something, does that mean that other people know it too? Or that they agree with you if they do? God is never mentioned in Horton Hears a Who, but it's clearly a story that captures the concept of a faith in something which can't be seen. The story also raises another question. What is your place in this story? Who are you in this story as a listener or a reader? Are you a who or a kangaroo? Are you one of the little people who have no power? Or are you one of the animals that wants to tie up Horton and put him in a cage just for being different? Hold that thought. Let's turn to our gospel reading this morning. The New International Version interprets Matthew 11:15 as, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." While the New Revised Standard Version interprets it as, "Let anyone with ears listen." So you see, there might be a difference between hearing and listening. I personally prefer the Common English Version interpretation, which has, "If you have ears, pay attention." So, is there a difference between hearing and listening? Between being passively told and between actively listening? I think so. In fact, right below the surface of this simple phrase lies one of the most controversial arguments in the Gospels. I'm not going to go into that right now, but it's something that we could talk about, or if you wanted to come to one of the after-service Bible discussions that we will probably still have starting in the fall. But anyway, simply speaking, it's an argument about whether Jesus was using an active voice or a passive voice. And I think that Horton Hears a Who actually might give us an answer to which of those two is better. Because the kangaroo is told, active voice, passive voice, but doesn't believe. Horton hears active voice and does believe, indeed even acts on that belief. Because you see, active listening is required. Active listening is more than merely physically hearing the words. It requires a receptive mind, a receptive heart, a receptive spirit. It requires attention, understanding, and a willingness to respond to the message. What does it mean to you to hear active voice, the message of Gospels? Have you been told about the good news? Or have you really heard it? Because I think to hear the gospel means being open to spiritual truths and to be able to comprehend God's message. And it also suggests that not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody will grasp the significance of what is being said. Now, I didn't have Joe read all of that Jesus was saying that led up to Matthew 11:15, because I really wanted to focus on those few words. But folks, context matters. Context always matters. So let's talk a little bit about the context for 11:15. 11:15 is about who Jesus is. John the Baptizer is in prison at this point. I prefer to use the word John the Baptizer because I think modern people might confuse John the Baptist with John the Methodist or maybe even John the Presbyterian. Anyway, John the Baptizer sends word through his friends asking who this Jesus is. Is he really the Messiah or should they wait for something else? You know, it's always tempting to focus on the fickleness of the faithful. If we're going to be honest, we have to acknowledge the challenges of pastoral leadership. Jesus demonstrates for us that a pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted. But Jesus also demonstrates for us that sometimes a pastor's job is to afflict those who are just too comfortable. It's often hard to serve God, and sometimes God's people are hard to please. And this passage from Matthew seems to suggest that perhaps this has been the case for, well, I don't know, at least 2,000 years. Jesus doesn't directly answer the disciples' questions, but suggests that they should judge him, who he is, by what he does. And perhaps that is the key, to pay attention to what is done rather than what is said. But back to the question. Jesus' disciples ask about who Jesus is. And Jesus responds by defining who he is, in part by talking about who John is. He identifies John the Baptizer and Jesus as being intertwined. Both John the Baptizer and Jesus have met with resistance, in part because of who they are, and in part because the other people in the story are often spoiled brats. John demands repentance, but they want to dance and to celebrate. Jesus proclaims the good news, but the people demand that he fast and get rid of all of that riffraff that he brought with him. John came and blamed him for being too gloomy. Jesus came and they blamed him for not being serious enough. The people wanted something to be different, but deep, deep down, they really didn't want anything to change. This brings me back again to, where are you in this story, in this parable that Jesus is telling? Do you see yourself as one of the disciples? Are you one of the crowd? Who are you in this parable? Are you a who? Or a kangaroo? Have you heard the good news? I mean, really heard it? Do you have a receptive mind, a receptive heart? And what exactly is it that you're going to do? And that brings me to my final point. Over the next few months, this congregation is going to be involved in a process of calling a new pastor called a mission study, using something called New Beginnings. And it will involve constantly asking who we are as a church and what is it that we really want to do. An important part of this process in calling a new pastor is for the congregation to give serious, prayerful thought to their mission. What is it that God is calling us to do? We need to listen and to pay attention. What do we want in a new pastor? What do we need in a new pastor? Not just what is the pastor going to do, but who is it that can best lead us in what God is calling us to do? Because you see, in the end, you see, it is true, even in this very story, we are the who. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.